Hi there, and welcome to this episode of What the Clock, a podcast devoted to keeping chickens for fun and self-sufficiency. I'm Matt from Frugal Chicken, and in this episode, I talk with Bonnie from Not So Modern Housewife, and we talk about showing chickens and a little bit about NPIP certification. And if you don't know what that is, you will definitely want to listen to this episode and find out all about it. And if you want to learn about showing chickens in competitions, then you're definitely going to love this episode. So I hope you enjoy it. Now, this episode is sponsored by A Cabin Full of Food. And if you haven't heard about this book, you really need to check it out. It's available both on Amazon and on justplainmarie.ca. Now, this book truly is amazing. It is a 300-plus page cookbook that has over 1,000 recipes in it. The reason why I love this cookbook so much is the recipes are very simple, the directions are very simple, and in just minutes, you can make wholesome food from real ingredients in just a snap. I've checked out and I've tried several recipes in the book, and the recipes are simple to follow, they're straightforward, and it's food that you're gonna love. This book is so valuable for the amount of money that you're going to spend on it that I honestly really cannot recommend it enough. You'll find recipes for everything from broccoli to desserts to just about anything that you can imagine. So if you are searching for the perfect thing to make for dinner, or if you're going to have friends over and you really want to have a recipe or have a meal made that is simple but will still impress them, then you definitely want to check out A Cabin Full of Food. Again, you can find that book at justplainmarie.ca. So now let's get on to today's episode. And again, I hope you enjoy it.
All right, guys, welcome to the latest episode of What the Cluck. And in this very special episode, I am sitting here with Bonnie from The Not So Modern Housewife. And you're going to get to learn all about her chickens and her blog and everything that you want to know. So why don't we go ahead, Bonnie, and just tell us a little bit about yourself and about your blog and your chickens and all that good stuff.
Let's see. Where do I start? I am a mom of two, and we have 5 acres in Central Florida. We actually started with chickens about 5 or 6 years ago. It was completely my city boy husband's idea. I grew up with chickens and wasn't a big fan of them and didn't want to have them. And now we have 50 or 60. Wow. But yeah, it kind of grew from there. I blame Tractor Supply with Chick Days because we got 6 chicks. They ended up being 6 roosters.
Oh, wow.
And so then we started scavenging Craigslist for chickens and got more laying hens and more laying hens. And then we decided to start breeding purebred poultry and showing chickens, and it just kind of blew up from there. But as far as the blog goes, I write about kind of what I'm doing here on the farm, my homesteading, gardening, a lot of cooking. I actually went to culinary school to be a pastry chef until I ran out of money. So I love to cook and bake, and I have my degree in business, but it hasn't really done me a whole lot of good. So now I'm just, my son is 5, so I'm going to start homeschooling him and probably writing more about that. And then my daughter just turned 1. So
awesome. Well,
I just kind of picked
it up. Something that struck me is that you said you show chickens. So what's that like?
It's interesting. I never imagined that I would be bathing chickens willingly. but I grew up doing 4-H and FFA. And so anytime I raise animals, I really like to show them, because anytime I do something, I want to try to make it better. So when I'm breeding an animal, I want to be breeding to that breed's standard of perfection and trying to make that breed better. And a big thing that helps me is by showing them, because I now have a judge giving me, you know, their perspective and their opinion on kind of the progress that I've made towards my breeding program. And it's fun, and it's something I can get the whole family involved in. My son, we just this last year, we actually got some bantam chickens just so that he can show them. He does showmanship, and he just started 4-H with them. And it's kind of become an addiction because I started out with 2 breeds of chickens. I now have 4 breeds of chickens and 2 breeds of ducks. So,
wow. So what breeds do you show?
I show large fowl Barnevelders. And then we just got Barnevelder Bantams for my son. Also large fowl Australorps. We got 2 Saramas for my son. They're both roosters, and we're going to be getting them some girlfriends soon. So he's showing them. And then I just got Saxony Ducks last year, so I've started showing them.
That's amazing.
Pekins I just have for me.
Yeah, I never thought about – I mean, I know people show chickens. I've never personally thought about doing that. So you must have some pretty wild stories.
It's interesting. Like I said, probably the only thing worse than bathing a chicken is bathing a cat. They're not real big fans of getting wet. And when I go to a show, I'm usually taking 12 to 15 chickens with me, which means – giving 12 to 15 chickens a bath.
Oh my goodness.
I get better at it each time. Each time I end up with fewer scratches on my arms. I'm pretty sure people that see me without sleeves on think that I have some kind of, self-abuse issues. But
so yeah, how does one give a chicken a bath?
With a really big bucket. I do a 3-bucket process. Before I went into it, I did research. So I talked to other breeders, other people who show. And then I also went on a website called, now I'm going to forget the name of it. It's like Show Poultry Central or Poultry. Maybe it's Poultry Show Central. Shoot, I don't remember. Anyway, and so they kind of talk about their process. But I do 3 buckets. I use muck buckets if I can, like the big tubs, mm-hmm. because that way, like, my Australorps are so big that I need a big bucket just to be able to submerge them. I don't submerge the heads, but anyway. Because I can use 5-gallon buckets, but the Australorps don't fit in a 5-gallon bucket very well. So I do the first bucket is like soapy water, and then the second bucket is a rinse water with vinegar in it just to get all the soap and stuff out. And then the third bucket is a permethrin dip so I can get the lice and everything off. And then with the soapy bucket, like, I usually have a scrub brush and a cloth, and I'm scrubbing the legs, making sure that the feathers don't have any poop and stuff stuck to them, and scrubbing the combs and the faces. So if there are like any lice eggs or anything like that, getting that off and cleaning them up. And so I end up just about as wet as they do in the end, but they end up looking a lot nicer.
Now, one question that sort of comes to mind is, you said that you put them in the dip to get rid of the mites and the lice. How do you get under the feathers mm-hmm. in order to, actually work everything in to actually get rid of them?
Well, by the time they get to that bucket, they've already been through the soapy water and through the vinegar water. And so it gets all the way to the skin very easily because they're already soaked through. And because the soap, breaks through all of the oils and things that are on their feathers. And then once I'm done, I wrap them in a towel, put them in the sunlight, let them dry. Because it breaks down the oils and everything on the feathers, I actually have to do it at least 3 days in advance. So that way their feathers have a chance to replenish those oils, so they're nice and shiny for the show itself. But it's more of a precaution thing. The other thing is it leaves a little bit of a residue on them so that they don't pick up any parasites while they're at the show and mm-hmm. bring stuff home.
Yeah, because I would imagine that would be sort of a concern, that them picking up something, or even just, you know, regular biosecurity of viruses and stuff. So how do you try to prevent that, in addition to, you know, preventing the lice and everything?
It's funny because I try to be very conscious of biosecurity, and then I show chickens, which seems to kind of contradict everything else. One thing is that all birds coming into the show, or at least all chickens coming into the show, have to be blood tested, or they have to come from an NPIP certified farm. So there is a little bit of, security there, I guess you could say, it gives me a little bit more confidence. Any birds that appear to be sick are disqualified from the show, and they're pretty much all inspected coming in to make sure they're not bringing stuff in. So they try to, you know, prevent that as much as possible. You know, the people that are exhibiting, that are, you know, bringing their chickens to the show, you kind of have to put a little bit of faith that they take enough pride in their animals, that they're making sure that they're not sick, that they're doing good biosecurity at home. Otherwise, my birds that are actually that are actively showing that season, I try not to integrate them in with the flock, so they kind of stay separated, so that if they do bring anything home, they're not passing it on to everybody else. Eventually, I would like to have individual cages for each of my show birds, so that way they can stay in good show condition through the entire season. I'm just not quite to that point yet. So I have smaller tractors that I just keep fewer birds in instead of individually pinning them.
Sounds good. How do you decide which birds to take to a show and which, because it sounds like you show them in order to improve your breeding program. So how do you go about deciding all of that?
A lot of it is making sure they're mature enough to be able to tell if they meet the standard, which for most breeds is going to be at least 7 months old, probably closer to a year old. And the more I show and the more I see other breeders' birds and I see what judges are looking for, it makes it easier for me to pick out who are going to be my show birds and who are going to be my breeders for each season. And so I just try to pick the ones that meet the standard the best. It ends up becoming a judgment call on me, but then that's also kind of one thing I'm being judged on at the show, is whether or not I have a good eye for it and I'm making good choices, you know, for who I pick. Another thing that may decide it is if I have a bird that did really well the previous year or at a previous show and they've aged well, I'll bring them. I have one Barnevelder hen that consistently wins champion continental out of, you know, all of the other breeds in the continental class, because she's just such a nice bird and she's aged really well. And then, of course, the other thing is making sure they're in good condition, no broken feathers or very minimal broken feathers, good weight, you know, just that they look pretty.
So what's your feeding regimen for your show birds?
I have a local feed mill that I get all of my chicken and pig feed from. And they actually have they call it a layer mash. It's more of an all flock because it has very little calcium in it. And it's actually an 18% feed. It's a corn and soybean mix. I would like to go non-GMO eventually, but I just can't afford it at this point. And then I also supplement with oyster shell. They have that free choice. They have oyster shell cups in all of the coops or all of the pens. And then they get probiotics every 2 weeks in their water. And then the chicks, I usually start with it's called brewer's yeast and garlic from Thomas Labs. And I put that in their feed as chicks just because it gives them some extra vitamins. And then actually the chicks have a 20% chick starter that they go on. But I like the brewer's yeast and garlic because it kind of prevents parasites, which seem to target the younger birds more than anything. And then it also, the brewer's yeast has a lot of like B vitamins, which I find that a lot of the issues that I get with young birds is because of vitamin deficiencies. So I just add that in. It's also good for my ducks because of the niacin in it, and ducks are, you know, traditionally niacin deficient and need a little extra. So
sounds good. Now, do you also show your pigs?
Not yet. Where I am in Florida, most of the shows down here are just youth shows. And unfortunately, my son's only 5 and he can't show pigs in 4-H until he's, I think, 8 or 9 years old. So right now we're just kind of breeding for fun, trying to improve our genetics so that we have some good show pigs, you know, once he's old enough to show them. There are open shows in other parts of the country. The closest ones are Perry, Georgia. But I'm not quite to that caliber yet. I would like to. It's ironic because I also said I'd never raise pigs and now I'm breeding them. But it's, you know, once you get into open showing pigs, it can actually be pretty expensive and pretty competitive. So,
yeah, it seems a little bit like a horses. I'm used to showing horses and it can be ridiculously expensive. But I was thinking about you.
I know. I really want to. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I really want to get back to showing horses, but I would need a new saddle and a new wardrobe. And yeah, it does get very expensive.
Well, I was thinking about you the other day because we have a pot-bellied pig, a mini pot-bellied pig that's about to give birth any day now. And I've been nervously waiting for her to finally drop this litter. But it's been I was just thinking about you the other day because of that. But with your chickens on your homestead, how do you incorporate them into your homestead activities?
Well, let's see. We get way more eggs than we could possibly ever dream of. So, you know, I try to use as many recipes that use eggs. In fact, today, because I'm overflowing with eggs and goat milk, I'm probably going to be making bread, ice cream, macaroni and cheese, maybe some pasta. I need to use up some of this stuff in my fridge. I use the animals also to teach my kids responsibility. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my son is 5. One of his jobs is to collect the eggs every morning. And then he also helps me feed the animals. He's been helping me with raking the goat pen and doing, you know, some little cleaning things around here. With the eggshells, I feed them. Excuse me. I feed them back to the chickens, but I also use them in my garden and grind them up and put them around like the bases of tomatoes and peppers and things like that that need more calcium. And then anytime we end up with eggs that go bad, they either go in the compost pile or we throw them to the pigs. So.
Yeah, that's what I do with a lot of my eggs is I feed them to my pigs. You know, we get over a dozen eggs a day, and I can't use all those up. It just, you know, just doesn't happen. So the pigs get a lot of them.
I know. I have like 20 to 30 laying hens, and I'm getting at least 18 eggs a day. And I mean, we sell some. My husband sells a lot of them at work. You know, I sell some at church and friends and things like that. But we still, I think we have 20 dozen eggs in the fridge right now. And I'm just like, what am I doing? I do, you know, during the spring and early summer, I do ship a lot of hatching eggs. And I do sell those through the blog for the Barnevelders and the Australorps. The only thing is right now I'm waiting for the state inspectors to come out and renew my NPIP certification. And then I also need to get tested for avian influenza so that I can start shipping again. And then I'll probably start shipping like middle of April. So that'll help take care of a lot of the volume with the eggs, so I don't have so many that I have to try to eat. And then now that we have a milk goat, hopefully I'll be making cheese here soon. I have the cultures and everything in the freezer. I just need to actually buckle down and do it, try it.
Yeah, making cheese, I like making cheese. It's a little bit of a time commitment, but it's not that hard, actually. But I was wondering if you could explain to everybody what NPIP certification is and why it's important, because a lot of people, you know, they think, oh, we'll just buy eggs, and, you know, they don't realize that there's actually an important process behind all of that.
Mm-hmm. NPIP, it's, there's a lot of things it is and there's a lot of things it isn't. I think people think it's a lot more than it is. It really, or at least here in Florida, it's only testing for one antibody in the blood. And it's a strain of salmonella, I believe. But aside from that, some states will test for other things. Some states will give you the option of testing for other things for a fee. In Florida, pretty much they've done away with any type of MG testing or anything like that. So if you think that you, by buying NPIP, you're guaranteed disease-free birds, that's not what it is. However, you know, someone that's part of the NPIP program, they do have state inspectors that are coming out once a year, testing all of their birds, or at least a percentage of their birds. And, you know, they're just making sure that they have decent biosecurity, that their birds look healthy. You know, one thing is a lot of states require more strict record keeping than Florida does. Some states, you know, you have to have a record of every bird purchased, every egg purchased, you know, everything sold, and you have to have only purchased from other NPIP certified farms. I'm assuming the reason Florida is not more strict with that is because we really haven't had any major outbreaks, but that's really why the program started, is so that if there is an outbreak, there's some kind of paper record, some kind of chain to go back and look and see where it may have started. The unfortunate thing that a lot of people don't like about NPIP is now the government has a record of your farm, of what you keep, and, you know, you open yourself up for the risk of losing everything if you end up becoming part of an outbreak. The good thing is that it really helps to control an outbreak if one were to happen. Now that we have avian influenza going around, and luckily, knock on wood, this has actually been a pretty quiet year for it. But, you know, now a lot of states are requiring the avian influenza testing as well. And that, at least for Florida, is an every 6 month requirement. So they'll go ahead and test my birds when they come out to do NPIP, and then they'll come out again in 6 months and test again. And then, of course, as long as we stay clean, we're good to go. And that means that we can now ship eggs out of state, because that is probably the only reason that I actually stay in the program, is because, you know, federal law requires that in order for me to ship eggs out of the state of Florida, I have to be NPIP certified. And now a lot of states are requiring, in order for eggs to be imported, they have to come from AI clean flocks. And so that's why I'm just going ahead and having it, just to be safe, just to be able to keep doing my business.
Definitely.
Did I answer the question?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Thank you for explaining that, because it's something that I think a lot of people hear about, but they might not know all the, you know, the purpose behind it and why it's so important and everything. But as we get down to our last few minutes together, could you just remind people where they can catch up with you, and if they do want to purchase your eggs when you have some available, where they can go ahead and do that?
My website is notsomodern.com, and I have a page there. Actually, if you look at the tabs across the top, I have a tab just for hatching eggs. I actually have a wait list. It's a Google document. You can go in, hit wait list, and you can go ahead and get on the list for whatever breed you want. I'll probably start shipping out Saxony eggs this year. I don't have them on the page yet. I'm not going to have Barneveld or Bantam eggs yet, just because I only have two hens. With the hatching eggs, I need to make sure I'm getting enough eggs in a three-day period to do a full order. So any eggs that are shipped are less than 3 days old. It just makes for better hatch results in the end. And then I'm also, I'm on Facebook, Instagram. Instagram is Not So Modern. On Google, and I just opened Periscope, which I'm still figuring that one out. On Twitter. On Twitter and Periscope, I am Not So Modern Blog. But yeah, just, you know, come and check it out. Instagram, I'm posting a lot of pictures behind the scenes that, you know, you're not going to see on my Facebook page. And then, of course, on the blog, I'm trying to get better about updating with weekly pictures and things like that, so everybody can kind of see what's going on in my life and not just, you know, informational articles and recipes and things that I'm posting. But.
Sounds great. Well, thank you so much for spending the last half hour with me and for telling everybody about your showbirds, which sounds very exciting.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome, and thanks again. And guys, be sure to catch up with Bonnie on her blog and check out those hatching eggs, and I will see you in our next podcast. Bye.